Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Thursday. Isn't it crazy how often I forget what day it is? I don't know what that says. I don't know if that's a good thing or it's a bad thing, but it is what it is. Welcome on in once again. Charlie Arnold here. Thank you so much, of course, as always, for being here. And speaking of days, Super Tuesday, it's in the rearview mirror. Donald Trump cleaned house, winning all but one of the 16 states plus the territory. Nikki Haley won Vermont, which makes sense that they would vote for a Democrat. But what a lot of people may have noticed, but maybe they're not paying so much attention to, is the fact that on Super Tuesday, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, all went down for a period of time. Feeds weren't refreshing. People were unable to log in. Something that, of course, happens from time to time. But the timing of it does seem just a little bit convenient. And Elon Musk concurred. He put up this post as hashtag Instagram down was trending on X, saying, quote, if you're reading this post, it's because our servers are working. Now, some were speculating, could this be a trial run, perhaps, for Election Day? Now, I'm not saying it was, but it does raise a good point of how important technology is every single day, but especially on days that hold increased significance. Just social media alone, people rely on to learn, for example, on days like Super Tuesday, where their polling stations are, what the hours are, to see real-time results, to communicate with others that share similar beliefs. If they can't do that, does it create an issue? Maybe. We saw how much chaos was created a couple of weeks ago when millions of AT&T users, including myself, could not use their phones for the greater part of one day. After the glitch was rectified on Tuesday as it pertained to social media, Meta spokesperson posted this statement saying, quote, earlier today, a technical issue caused people to have difficulty accessing some of our services. We resolved the issue as quickly as possible for everybody who was impacted, and we apologize for any inconvenience. But do we believe Meta? Because let's recall what Mark Zuckerberg told Joe Rogan as it concerned critical evidence that may have swayed the election back in 2020, that being the suppression and censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story just weeks before. Listen.
There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
Well, I, for one, didn't quite mind the lack of social media access for a few hours. It was, of course, a nice little break. But I think it's important that big tech, as powerful as it is, understand the extreme precariousness of being up and running during significant events such as Super Tuesday or down the road, Election Day. Also, the importance of allowing critical information to remain at the public's disposal, regardless of which side it may or may not benefit. We're going to leave it at that and hope everybody is able to do their jobs properly when called upon. But we won't hold our breaths. But one thing we don't have to hold our breath for is the arrival of one of my favorite guests on this show, Mr. Dan Dockich, the host of Don't At Me. Come on in, sir. Hello, good morning.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I got a little eye problem today. So if I look red-eyed, no, I haven't been up smoking weed or anything. I got a little allergy going in the eyeball. So I don't want anybody to think I'm baked this morning.
You were up with Hunter Biden last night? Are you sure?
I can't hang with that guy. I mean, I'm up for a good time, but I'm not up for that good a time. That guy parties too hard for me. You kidding me?
Well, recently we were notified that he might have been smoking sawdust Did you see that? He was, you know, there was the defense that it was sawdust, not drugs. And then back in the day, he also admitted to smoking Parmesan cheese, thinking it was crack cocaine stuffed in the, you know, little compartments in his carpet. That's how desperate he was for drugs, that he was smoking cheese. So, listen, Dan, I'm not saying you're into hard drugs, but you could be into smoking sawdust or cheese. I'm not going to judge you for it.
I like my cheese on crackers, and you know what? These hands don't really work. So I know what sawdust is, but I'm not really familiar. I did have a friend that a long time ago bought a bag of oregano, and he thought it was pot way back in the day. And, you know, so I, you know, whatever floats your boat. I've never done drugs. I've never smoked pot one time in my life. So nobody's going to trick me. I've never done gummies. I like it the old fashioned way. I like, you know, too many beers, I guess. I don't know.
Oregano, that's a good one. Oregano actually really turns me off the smell of it. So, you know, that's probably a good reason. I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with this. Anyways, Dan, let's talk about taking back a few beers because, you know, a lot of people needed to do so, at least as it pertained to the, you know, liberal left on Tuesday, seeing the results that came in. You probably heard my opening monologue. Some of the social media platforms went down on Tuesday. It was interesting timing. Now, of course, we don't want to say that it had any connection necessarily to what was going on politically, but, you know, just worth noting the timing that Mark Zuckerberg's platforms had their glitch. What do you think about all of it? Is this something we should be paying extra attention to? And also Elon Musk, of course, drew attention to the fact saying, if you're reading this, it's because our servers are working. So what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I've said this all along. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. I grew up in an era in Northwest Indiana where there was voter fraud. There just was. I think I've told you this. A friend of my dad's came to our house, tried to see if we owned the empty lot next door. He was running for city council, and he wanted to sign it up. The guy that taught me how to shoot a jump shot is currently a fugitive in Majorca, Majorca, Greece. So I don't trust any of it. Absolutely. Look, I've said this forever. I don't care what polling says. Polling is great. Hey, Trump's up. So what? Look, the Republicans had better stay vigilant on everything. I'm talking about harvesting. We know that the social media slant, you know, it's been exposed that conservative voices were muted. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not a wacky conspiracy guy, but I pay attention. Absolutely. I don't trust anything about Facebook. I don't trust anything about whatever the Democrats want to do. I think it's ironic timing or interesting timing, whatever you want to say. I would argue that it's not timing. It's just what they do. It is. And so, yeah, I don't trust none of it, Charlie. Zero, none about nothing when it comes to this coming election.
Yeah, and I think it's important to really understand the whole idea of conspiracy theories, because it's just something people like to throw out when it's something they don't agree with, right? And then we oftentimes find out you hear certain voices who are very intelligent, who have reason to mistrust certain things that they're being told or that are being said. They push back. They're named as a conspiracy theorist. And then it's only so much time that goes by that we find out the things that they were saying to push back are actually how it actually was and how it should have been understood. So I don't even like the idea of someone being named a conspiracy theorist. I think anyone deserves the right to believe something or not believe something or push back against something. And oftentimes these things are proven to be true. So I'm totally with you. I think being vigilant, I think that's the best word to use, is very important, especially as we are nearing the 2024 election. Speaking of politics in the 2024 election, Dan, are you planning on tuning in to the State of the Union tonight to hear Joe Biden say, gosh, I'm sure some really interesting, riveting things?
No, my son coaches at Illinois State. I'm going to be watching Illinois State taking on Evansville, and I have absolutely no interest. Biden's going to talk about the kitchen table. I'll give you a whole list here. I made it up today. Biden's going to talk about the kitchen table. Actually, I stole it. He's going to make up a quote and talk about his dad. He's going to talk about just a little more breathing room. He's going to try to get sympathy because of his son, Beau. He's going to wrongly use words. He's going to lie about 10 different things. No, heck no. Now, the one thing that I wish, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe this has been going on a long time, I just haven't paid attention. I think it's a little bit beneath the United States to have people yelling out things from the audience, from the Senate floor, at the president. I don't know why I feel that way. I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm sure it doesn't matter. But I think that's beneath the United States. But no,
yeah,
I
agree.
Do you? Yeah, I think it's beneath us. So let other countries do that. But you know what, Charlie? I got this way, and it started with George W. Bush. Whenever he spoke, and he's a smart man, but I couldn't watch. Then I heard Obama, and every time Obama spoke, it was like he was giving the Gettysburg Address. He was trying to be, every word was going to go on the wall of a monument. And now when I hear Biden speak, it just irritates me to the point where he's just a liar. So I'm really not. I'm going to watch college hoops and probably bet my face off and make money. That's right.
I like that. Before we move on, because I have some college hoops in my near future I will also be tuning into. But I know that hearing Biden speak is like nails on a chalkboard for you, Dan. But Trump is asking now to debate Biden anytime, anywhere, any place. He posted this on Truth Social saying, quote, "It is important for the good of our country that Joe Biden and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people. Therefore, I am calling for debates anytime, anywhere, any place. The debates can be run by the corrupt DNC or their subsidiary, the Commission on Presidential Debates. I look forward to receiving a response. Thank you for your attention on this matter." I like that he said, "I look forward to receiving a response," just as a little bit of a say something, because I'm sure that he probably will be blatantly ignored. Dan, what do you think this debate would sound like? I just can't even imagine hearing Joe Biden try to impromptu give responses to Trump. I mean, it's just, that would actually be something worth having a few beers during.
Yeah, one of the things that is not going to happen, I'm sure, is a debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Like, I don't know what mixture of feel good has to be put in a pill form for Joe Biden to be cognizant enough to stand up there for 2 hours and debate. Like, I really believe that. Like, I think they get him hepped up. Like, tonight he'll probably be okay, and then the pills will wear off and he'll pass out. It's smart by Trump. It's absolutely smart by Trump, and he should keep the pressure on to have a debate, because I think people understand that, because we've seen it before. We've seen debates between Biden and Trump in the last cycle. Well, if you're still good enough, smart enough, mentally strong enough to be the president, although a court ruled that you're not capable of standing trial, he's mentally capable of standing trial, then you should want a debate, because that's what we do. Now, I also hope, and I don't know what this means, but I also hope that Trump goes through the proper channels to set up a debate, because I'm guessing, based on history where candidates have debated, I'm guessing there is a system in place to set up a debate. So I'm hoping not only is it bluster from Trump, but he and his team are going through whatever protocols there are to establish a debate. And I, for one, would be tuning into that. Hoops be damned. I would have to sit down and watch that bad boy.
Yeah, I do not blame you. Same here. Okay, let's talk about watching a little bit of college hoops, because, Dan, tomorrow after the show, I'm headed back to the great state of Indiana. My first visit of 2024, probably my only visit of 2024, because I just do like an annual trip these days, I have the parents come to New York to visit me. But anyways, I'm excited. I actually have quite the lineup for my trip to Indiana. I'm going to see my friends Friday night, catch up with them. Saturday, I'm actually going down to Harry and Izzy's to have dinner downtown with my dad and some others. And then we're going to Bill Burr, which I don't know if you're a fan of Bill Burr, but he's doing a comedy show Saturday night. And then Sunday, we head to Bloomington for the final game of the regular season, Indiana versus Michigan State. So I'm pumped. I haven't been to Assembly Hall in quite a while, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you picked the right spots. I knew it. I can't believe you're actually making this public. I can't believe that you're saying you'll be at Bill Burr. It'll be a madhouse. I can't believe you're going to be at Harry and Izzy's. That place will be packed. TMZ will be parked out front. They will be looking for photos. And, of course, Assembly Hall will rise as one and give you the ovation that you deserve as you make your entrance. So I'm stunned that you're making this public. Brave of you. Very brave of you, because as everybody knows,
like me and you were just having a one-on-one conversation. I forgot that I'm making this public on the internet. But
that's,
you know,
right.
I just did it. So if I happen to run into someone who got the information from this show, then come say hello. Let's take a photo.
Yeah. Yeah, people, but be nice.
I'll be with my dad.
Be nice.
I'll be with my dad. So no funny stuff.
Yeah. No goofy stuff. And look, when you go to Assembly Hall, you're seeing a hot team. You're seeing a team that's won 3 in a row, double-digit win on the road last night. The Hoosiers are back, baby. That's right. So you're going to see a good environment.
Okay. 3 in a row is great. And I did just see this morning, I saw the ESPN article, and I know that you had tweeted about it, posted about it yesterday, I believe, about Mike Woodson. Sources confirm he will be staying on board. But my dad actually, earlier this week, sent me a petition that was circulating. He got word of it on Pigs.com, which, as you know, is like the source for all things Indiana basketball. It was calling for Mike Woodson to step down as Indiana's head coach. At the point that I read it, which was at this point maybe like 24-ish hours ago, they had nearly 500 signatures, which was the first tier of number of signatures they were looking for, and that would probably then be increased if it made sense. But the petition read in part, "While we thank Mike Woodson for all of his efforts, we are pleading for IU to make a change as at the head coach position. He has not met the standard set by the basketball program by any measure. Finishing middle to bottom of the Big Ten is not acceptable in today's college landscape, given all of the resources of the program." Dan, I know that you are, I believe, what, you're a fan of him staying on board. That's correct, right? You had said that you wanted him to stay.
Yeah, I don't think he's done a great job, but I hate petitions. Petitions are stupid. If fans want to really impact an athletic director, no, not at all. No,
you laugh at them. Does this do anything? I don't know.
No, if you're dissatisfied, and this is the only way you get really attention for anybody, is don't go to games, don't buy tickets. I mean, that is what gets people attention. The people that put this petition out are fools. I mean, they're idiots. I don't have no respect for them. It's chicken blanks hiding behind a petition. Here's the deal. I've always said this, and this is how us former players feel. There's an arrogance about Indiana. We were better. We knew we were better. We flew private when others didn't. We told people, hey, look, you either come here. We're not going to have you visit 15 places. If you don't want to come here, fine. We'll get the next person. Coach Knight put an arrogance, and a good arrogance, on us. We knew places were going to be sold out when we went and played there. We knew the other team, it was going to be their biggest crowd. There was an arrogance, and this is beneath Indiana. It's absolutely beneath Indiana. What is happening at Indiana, I've said this for years, Indiana, unfortunately, despite an unbelievable fan base, despite, they're right, great facilities, everything, a fantastic history. Indiana basketball and its fandom has become like every other school, every other little school like Cincinnati or Memphis. Indiana used to be special. Right now, Duke, special. North Carolina, special. Kansas, up here, special. Indiana fans have become like every other idiotic, ridiculous fan base. And frankly, I'm a little pissed off about it, because I've said this. Actually, I've said this in 2008. And the arrogance, not in a bad way. You walk in, you're wearing Indiana, you know you're going to win. Now, you didn't always win, don't get me wrong. But you just had an arrogance about you. And right now, we're like slobs. I mean, the difference between Indiana back in the day, button down $2,000 three-piece suit is what we were back, because three-piece suits were in style back then, to now it's like you're a fat slob standing on the corner holding a Bush Light with your pants halfway down your ass like every other person in America. So no. Petition, hell with that. I'm glad they announced. They had to announce something, because it wasn't just Mike Woodson and the petition. It was writers now going and digging into his contract and making that public. And so Indiana had to make a statement, not for fans, but for recruits. And I'm glad Scott Dolson, the AD, did. There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Boom!
I mean, they needed to make the announcement. They might as well make the announcement before the season's over, right? Give him... I don't know.
Well, Charlie,
I feel like as a head coach,
here's
too,
the deal.
Knowing that people... Yeah.
Charlie, here's the deal. When everything in the paper or in media, social media, is used against you in recruiting. So it's not only Indiana, it's every school. Like, you're gonna see, if you're a recruit, hey, Woodson's on his way out, or whoever, whatever coach, whatever. So you have to make a statement to combat that. And it's not for the fans, it's for recruiting, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that makes total sense. I mean, you look at some of the, you know, for example, Nick Saban leaving Alabama's program, you know, that probably had a massive effect on recruitment. I'm sure a lot of players maybe would love to play for Mike Woodson. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe this would entice them to come. Maybe, you know, you just don't know. But that actually is a very good point. And I appreciate your sentiments about Indiana fans. What do you think it's going to take to get them to go back in the other direction, be, you know, have that elevated look and behavior that they once did? I mean, is that going to take just getting back to their winning ways consistently? Or is this just kind of more of the effect that we're seeing in the greater part of society as well, where everyone just kind of has taken it down a few notches and no one really gives much of a crap anymore?
You know, winning cures everything in sports. It does. Woodson's won three in a row, or whatever team you like. You know, whether a, let's say, for example, Danny Hurley's the head coach at UConn, and Danny Hurley yells and screams. But if Danny Hurley ever lost, yelling and screaming would be used against him. Now, when he wins in sports, yelling and screaming means he's a tough coach, and he works hard. He works his players hard. So winning is the great panacea. It just is. I mean, it really and truly just is. I think there's a number of things. I think Indiana has to win. And you know what? They've won three in a row, the first time they've done that all year. And you know what? They have to win in big moments. You know, you got to get the Sweet 16s, Elite 8s. You got to be playing the Big Ten tournament championship game. And that should be the expectation of fans. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're going to go to Assembly Hall on Sunday, and you're going to look around, and you're going to see one of the great fan bases in the country. The band's going to be playing. The William Tell Overture is going to be played after the eight-minute timeout. You know, and it's a show. It's a great show. So, you know, it's there, but you got to win. And you got to have players act in a way that is respectful of winning, respectful of basketball, which is what Indiana and Bob Knight or Krzyzewski or Dean Smith always taught. So those things all go together. But, I mean, I'm no – look, Charlie, I don't give a damn. If you win, people will go, you're great. You're great. Oh, it's awesome. If you lose, you could coach the same way, but you're a bum. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't see – let me first say, I hope that I can help lead them to four in a row. I hope that my presence brings them a little bit of extra oomph, and they can finish off the season strong with me being in attendance. Also, Dan, I don't know. You know a lot about sports. You know a lot about politics. I think we've talked about this before. Remember, we talked about you running for office. Remember, this was the big pitch. Remember, when you get into office, then I have to also then be, you know, a part of the crew, because I put this idea into the universe and helped it to start spinning. Recently, you saw Steve Garvey, former Dodger, Padre. He advanced to the general election for the U.S. Senate in the state of California. And he actually spoke on my show about how being an athlete in his previous life helped him in this position. Let's take a listen, and then I'll ask you a question about it. Oh, no question. Sorry, we were gonna throw it back. But anyways, he talked about how being an athlete helped to put him in this position and help him to succeed in this position. So, Dan, other than yourself, of course, any other athlete that comes to mind that you think would make a very successful politician in today's landscape?
Man, that is a great, great question. The best politician probably was Tom McMillan going back. But I get fascinated because we see athletes, you know, in politics, right? Like people would say Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, probably would be really good. Now, he would be very, very liberal, very, very yes. left-leaning. But you know what? It would make people like you and me crazy, but he's very well-spoken. He has a background that people relate to with his father being murdered at American University over in Iran. And he's not – well, I mean, frankly, he's not really afraid of issues. I'd like to see, you know, a guy like Steph Curry. Every time I see Steph Curry speak, every time, he kind of makes sense to me. It's like, he has a dry coolness to me that I go, huh, okay, you know what? I can get behind that. I tell you what, there is a kid. I always go look at leadership. I always look at leadership when I go, would I follow that guy? There's a kid playing basketball at Purdue named Braden Smith. Braden Smith might be the best point guard in the country. And I always watch coaches, Charlie, and I go, yeah, he looks like a little kid. When I was 18, I wouldn't have been. No, yeah, oh, yeah. This kid, Braden Smith, is like, you know what? I'd follow that guy. Now, he's from Westfield, Indiana. I don't know if he would be probably not a politician, but I want somebody that I could get behind and go, yeah, I'm all in on that guy. I don't think it would be Kerr. I do think it would be Steph Curry. But the list is not long because in the NBA, everybody's 18 years old with, you know, with 18-year-old ideas. But I don't know. I do think that Kerr probably at some point will run for office. He seems to get in that realm and it'll make everybody crazy.
Yeah, well, one person, we just hope Mark Cuban doesn't run for politics. That would just,
oh, man.
That would be too much. That would be too much. Although I do wonder, it probably would be a lofty goal for someone starting out on their athletic career, but I wonder if there are any young athletes out there that maybe they haven't said it out loud yet, but maybe have some political aspirations. It would just be interesting to know if there were some young people that existed that already are thinking in that direction, maybe post-playing career, maybe this is my platform to get into politics. Would be cool,
you know,
to
you
know.
Can
I,
set
I don't know
that,
that
up,
they would
Charlie.
Come right out and say it, but.
Charlie, you know, a quarterback in a university, I just thought of one, J.J. McCarthy, I saw him speak the other day here at the Combine, and I thought to myself, you know, that kid could do anything, you know, whatever you want to do. What do you want to do? You want to lead a business? That kid could probably do that. You want to lead a football team? That kid could probably do that. He led Michigan to an undefeated season, and he, you know, when you're the quarterback of, let's say, the best team in the country in this day and age, man, oh, man, between social media and the way you present yourself pregame, postgame, you know, with the media during the week, you could set yourself up a lot quicker for a political or business run than you ever could before because you're always on. Like you walk on campus, you're the quarterback of Michigan, you're on. You know, you're anytime you talk to anybody, you're on. People could tape it. So it's a fascinating question. And you know what? J.J. McCarthy might be the number one guy for me. He's just a young kid, but he leads and exudes leadership and enthusiasm. And if you're the quarterback in Michigan, you could set that up pretty quick if that was your goal.
Okay, so J.J. McCarthy, someone everybody to keep your eye on. Maybe we push him in that direction, Dan. Maybe we, you know, we somehow just, it becomes like an idea of inception, right? Just plant the seed. Maybe it'll happen one day.
Plant the seed.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah.
One thing that I know drives you nuts, as it does me and so many other people these days because it's running rampant, is the idea of cancel culture. And listen, there are things that keep getting dredged up from the past that we should just let be because they've never caused any issues. But now suddenly people want to cherry pick things that they don't like and say, no, we can't have this anymore. We've got to get rid of it. The latest thing being, and this is absolutely outstanding, is the photo, the historic photo, Dan, of the Navy sailor kissing a woman in Times Square on VJ Day, 1945, the VA calling for this to be removed from all of their medical buildings because, quote, it does not foster a more trauma-informed environment that promotes psychological safety, whatever the hell that means. Anyways, what they're trying to say is this sailor and this woman kissing in Times Square was not consensual and that it should be just torn down because it just creates an atmosphere of trauma for people who might have been taken advantage of in the same manner. Whereas normal people say, no, this is a sailor that just got back. He's celebrating. He finds an attractive woman. He kisses her because, by the way, if you read the background, he had said it reminded him of all the nurses that were of assistance when they were at battle. And it was a way of saying thank you. And judging, let's bring the photo back up, because judging by the woman's body language, doesn't look like she's resisting. I mean, her hand is lovingly embracing him. She's got her one leg step back. I mean, a complete photo op. People are admiring from afar. I mean, Dan, how ridiculous is it that now this is being canceled?
On a scale of one to insanely, idiotically, can't believe we're even talking about that, it is beyond that. It is like, damn, I mean, look, it's a picture, it's a photo, it's a statue. In fact, downtown Carmel, they have that in a statue. I get amused. It actually makes me think, man, do people have time on their hands to go, I'm going to go after a picture of a sailor and a nurse kissing today, and I'm pissed off about it. Look, I don't know.
From 1945, yes.
Yeah, it's like, is it really that deep? I mean, is it really that deep? Like, here's the deal. All right, Charlie. Here's the deal. So, you know, I actually talked to my son about this a few years ago. You're dating a girl, you're dating a guy, whatever, and you haven't kissed yet. But, you know, you're getting along, and you know, you're going to try to make that first move, and if you reach in, you go to movies or whatever, and you're talking, and you feel the urge, and you go in, you know, for a first kiss or a kiss at the door, good night. Can the woman or the guy press charges now because it wasn't consensual? It wasn't like, or do I have to say, hey, Charlie, I'm going to kiss you now. Is that okay with you? I mean, is that what we got to do? I guess we do. I guess that's, I'm glad I'm married because I probably would be in jail if I, you know, I feel like somebody would go, well, you know, I know we went on a date. I know we went to Harry and Izzy's. I know we had a nice bottle of wine, but he tried to kiss me. I'm pressing charges because that's kind of what that is. You know, two people that I don't even know. I'm not even going to get into the bull backstory. I don't care. It's just so ridiculous to me. It makes my hair grow. How about that? I see my hair growing right now.
I would love for your hair to grow live on my show. That would be probably something that would go viral. So if we could make that happen, that would be fabulous. No sane person would ever bring this up. This is not something that bothers anybody. In fact, most sane people would look at this photo and say, wow, that is a really beautiful, special moment, right? You have a soldier coming back from war. I mean, you've got him giving thanks to a beautiful nurse. There was nothing wrong. In fact, I did read the background of this. This guy had a girlfriend. He was with his girlfriend when this happened. You know what? And his girlfriend probably even was of the mindset that, you know what? He's saying thank you. I don't even care that he kissed another woman right in front of me, because what a joyous moment this is to have him home, to have her home, to have everybody be celebrating after all of the, you know, torture we've gone through as a nation. If she wasn't upset, the VA should not be upset.
Oh, man, Charlie, we just make things up. You know, today I'm going to be upset because over Dockage's shoulder there's a crown, and it looks like a male crown. Now, it's not reflective of a queen. Dockage, you're Messiah. We make stuff up, every day. I kind of, Charlie, tell me what you think. I kind of thought we were done with this. I kind of thought we were done with the stupidity of this, but apparently we are not. Didn't you think we were getting done with this?
You know, I would love to say that I did think we were done with this, and I always kind of wake up with a glimmer of hope of today is a new day and things are going to be different when I step outside this apartment building I live in. But then I step outside and immediately I realize not today. Tomorrow?
No.
Probably not either. So,
tomorrow's,
you know,
another day.
I'm just ready for a vacation. That's it. I just look forward to the days when I don't have to talk to anybody and I can ski down a mountain. I can sit on a beach and I don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. So that's what I look forward to these days, and I'm pretty sure you probably do too. So,
oh man, Charlie, that's why I look forward to 7 o'clock every night, because 7 o'clock this time of year every night, I take this phone and I keep it on DraftKings and I watch college basketball till I fall asleep. My wife's out of town. So, used to be if my wife was out of town, I'd be clubbing, baby. But you know what? Now I only pay attention to hoops, and I love it. I don't get involved. I gave up late night Twitter for Lent. I violated that, so I'm going to hell. But that's all right. That's probably going to hell for a number of things.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Okay, Dan, well, you only have, let's see, it's 8:30. You've got 10 and a half hours, a little under, until you can shut down again for the night. So I just hope you can get through those next 10 and a half hours. But we know you have a busy next couple of hours coming up because your show. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
What does this make me? When in 2008, they made me the head coach at Indiana, and every day was a stressful. We had drugs and guns and all this stuff, whatever. But it never failed that at 11 o'clock, Charlie, at night, I put everything away and I turned on Sex and the City on my television. So Carrie guided me for the rest of the night. That's right. Every night I was watching the girls having martinis in New York City. My wife makes fun of me. She calls me names. I say, it's a good show to decompress to. You need one. You need a show.
You know what?
Like
it's just
that.
It's just Dan and the girls. And in fact, Dan, I'm right there with you. I also like to decompress to Sex and the City. So I am not judging you, but that will be a story that I would love to get into maybe a little more in detail on a later date. But for now, I know you have to get ready for your show, Don't At Me, starting in just a couple of minutes on OutKick.com, 9 to 11. Lots of exciting topics on deck for you, I'm sure. So with that, Dan, I'm not going to see you, but I will be close to you when I go to Indianapolis this weekend. So I'll be with you in spirit a little bit more than normal. So I look forward to that.
You may see me. I may be at that game on Saturday. If I am, I will text you and I will buy you a drink.
Yes, please.
And your dad a drink.
That would be fabulous. I think we'll probably be going to Knicks before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I'm relaying my location, but no Indiana game is complete without a trip beforehand to Knicks, says my dad. So, you know. The whole situation will be occurring on Sunday. So, Dan, thank you so much, and hopefully see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Charlie. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, Dan Dockich. The Sex and the City thing really got me. Love that. Okay, everybody, that is it. Thank you so much for being here. That was a fun show, as it always is, right? Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow. Another fun show on the way for you. In the meantime, follow me on social media @CharlieOnTV. And with that, everyone have a fantastic Thursday. See you tomorrow.